Hello, 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 everybody. I am Pedro.
And I am Meredith.
I was so slow. I don't know why. It took forever. And this is Gritty Reboot, the grittiest show about reboots there has ever been.
Yep.
And of course, once again, we are not talking about reboots because our name is a lie, is it not?
Sometimes.
Sometimes it is. And if you think it fucking sucks that we are out here lying about the concept of our show and the title, you can let us know that. The easiest way to do it is to find us at Gritty Reboot on Instagram and at TikTok. And where's the other place anybody from the 90s can find us?
GrittyRebootCast@gmail.com.
Send us a fucking email. Give us your attachment. Send us some cookies. Whatever you want. We'll fucking listen, look at it and talk about it on the show.
Yeah, we love you.
That's right. We love you. We do. We love it. Wow. You are committed to this audience. I love you guys too, all right? Jesus. So what are we talking about this week?
We're talking about a bunch of shit.
A bunch of shit. Today's show is about plumbing, and we're going to talk about all of your plumbing issues on Meredith and Pedro's Plumbing In.
No, we're not plumbers.
I'm sorry. Meredith and Pedro's Plum Tired.
Nice.
You're welcome.
Oh my God.
You're welcome.
Nobody asked for that.
You wanted it.
Nobody wanted it.
All right, what's going on?
Well, we're here to talk about child's play some more, to exaggerate, if you will, a little bit more on some of the sequels that have come out since Child's Play 1.
Well, I think a couple of things happened. As we began our research, we sort of realized the strength that there was in the franchise, that we started talking about the movies that we really enjoyed and the ones that we thought held up pretty nicely.
Yeah.
And I even mentioned that the direct-to-video stuff was apparently pretty good. And we decided, hey, let's go ahead and see how much of the series we can watch. And we were lucky enough that when we decided to do the review, you know, once we were done watching the reboot, literally 2 or 3 days later, the movies, almost all of them became available on YouTube for free. So we checked them out that way, and we rented a couple of the other films.
Mm-hmm.
And we were left very impressed. So this became like a franchise review. That's really what this is. We are taking a look at the franchise on a whole. Obviously, it does begin with Child's Play in 88, but we're going to skip that one because we have a whole episode about that. If you'd like to, you can just simply go and listen to that one. I'll link to it in the comments. I mean, I'll link to it in the description. So you can find that episode there and hear our full breakdown. And we really give it to that episode. I think that's one of our better episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're amazing on that episode.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're awesome. You got fact after fact on that episode. Anyway, yeah, so we're sort of skipping that one, and we're really going to dive right into Child's Play 2.
All right.
That's what... Yeah, you looked at me like, Child's Play 2? Is that... Are you sure that we're doing the movie?
No, I know.
This isn't about Caddyshack?
No.
Sure, we can switch to Caddyshack really quick. Just give me the word, and we will go right into Caddyshack 2.
Child's Play 2 is amazing.
So I think this is the real surprise. Child's Play 2 comes out November 9th, 1990. This is directed by John Laffey and, of course, written by Don Mancini, who is the steward of the franchise. He wrote the first film. He's writing every movie. Delivers a much stronger script here with a much better concept. There were a lot of changes that were added in the first movie, and some of them were for the better. I think some of them are a little bit weird. You know, I talked about in the previous film that there was sort of a mystery if, like, it was the kid or if it was Chucky.
Mm-hmm.
But we saw the opening scene with the guy transferring his soul into a doll. You wouldn't have shown us that scene if that guy wasn't in the doll. So it's not really a mystery, right? And that was one of my chief complaints. And the sequel doesn't do that at all. The sequel's a really tight story about a really scarred kid trying to adapt to a new family, and a fucking psychopath sets down upon him again.
Yeah.
And it's about as well told as a story like that really could be. I think this is the real height of the franchise, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's pretty damn good.
Yeah, I think this...
It's not my favorite sequel, which we'll talk about later,
mm-hmm.
but... It is a hell of a good sequel for any horror franchise.
I think Child's Play 2 is my favorite slasher sequel ever. I think I like this film better than Nightmare 3. I think I like it better than Friday the 13th Part 6.
Mm.
I don't think I like any of the Halloween sequels.
Yeah.
Well, it's tough to count 2018 as a sequel. That really is a reboot. Yeah. You can say it's a sequel, original sequel to the first movie, but it really is a retcon, a reboot. So
we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, we will. We'll try to get to it this October and not get behind every October like we always do. But it's just one of those things, as I started thinking about it, this second movie really is just so incredibly strong. It's everything the Child's Play franchise really should be. There's showpieces for the effects, which are better than the previous movie. There's that great scene where he kills the teacher and Chucky comes walking out of there and the theme starts playing. Mm-hmm. And like, she's just horrified and just terrified from Chucky. And he looks really scary. And she just comes out and he beats her with the yardstick with the camera zooming out. This movie has really interesting directing choices. There's a lot of wide angle, low shots. It's very much from the perspective of Andy and his view upon the world. Sometimes it's a little bit much. Man, I think it's incredibly effective for the way this movie goes. There's a lot of good first-person Chucky stuff here. I think it's a weirdly strongly directed movie. I didn't realize it until you watch a movie so much on cable over the years, over and over and over again, that you feel like you know a movie so you don't actually watch it. Mm-hmm. And you actually kind of forget what the actual fibers, tissues are that connect the scenes, that make them work, the little moments between the characters. And this movie is so rich with that, and it's not something you usually see in a slasher sequel at all. This is a really, really great slasher script by Don Mancini, and it's expertly directed, and it's got some of the best acting in the franchise.
Yeah.
I was blown away by the quality of this film. We haven't talked about the third act of this movie with the Good Guy Factory. Mm-hmm. That is just one of the greatest set pieces in all of horror. That maze that they have to go through, Chucky continuing to return, the guy getting his eye stabbed out. That's a fucking great scene. I almost love every frame of this movie.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really, really strong scene. If you haven't seen it in a number of years like me, if you're getting into your late 30s, early 40s, or in your 50s, and you kind of saw this movie earlier and kind of wrote it off, you might want to check this movie out again, because it really is a truly amazing movie.
Yeah. And it's got Andy back in it.
Yeah, it really does. And he's great. Alex Vincent, yeah. He'll leave the franchise at this point, but we'll get to that in a little bit. And he's great again here. And I also wanted to mention Jenny Agutter from American Werewolf in London. Mm-hmm. And she was, we already talked about her in the past. I thought she was good in that movie, even if her character was sort of crazy, more dick crazy than anything else. But in this movie, there's a little more shade to her character. And I think my favorite fact that I found out from doing research is that she was really upset that a lot of the more emotional character scenes were cut in favor of pacing. So she feels her character was completely butchered and considers it one of her worst performance in her career.
Hmm.
And that really saddens me because I think she's really good here. And I understand we got to see a deleted scene, remember?
Yeah.
The scene was super long, right?
Yeah.
It was a wide angle, one take shot where they come out, have like a 3-minute conversation, the husband and the wife, about how they're feeling about everything. He leaves and then the camera just moves straight into the backyard where you see Chucky run into like the window underneath the house.
Mm-hmm.
So it shows off a really cool animatronic effect. That's how long this shot is. They cut out a cool animatronic effect.
Yeah.
But listen, I feel like I could talk about Child's Play 2 all day, but we've got to move on. And sadly, when the franchise moved on, they really had their first misstep. Am I right?
Yeah, we go to a military school.
Left, 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 right, left.
Welcome to Hell on Earth.
You are without a doubt the most pathetic thing I have ever seen.
Strict discipline.
Does this look like a gun to you, Barkley? It's a rifle.
Next.
Rigid dress codes.
Presto, you're bald.
Get those weapons in the air. I want to see them high.
And grueling drills. It couldn't possibly get any worse.
Wrong again, wimp.
Chucky's back. A few years have passed.
No, you're dead. We killed you.
I'm new and improved.
At Kent, we take bedwetters and turn them into men.
Andy, how you've grown.
Yeah, we get Child's Play 3, and I think Don Mancini had a little bit less than 1 year to turn this thing around, because this comes out in 1991, and this is directed by Jack Bender, who I don't think is a really bad director, but the flair and the style is really gone from the previous movie, which is a real shame.
Yeah, we have Andy as a teenager.
Yeah, and he's been replaced here. He's been replaced. He's played by Justin Whalen now. And I think he does a really nice job. He's I'm not going to rag on him at all. I think his performance is fine. Yeah, I think unless you were literally going to tell the same story again, because you're sort of limited with what you can do with Alex Vincent at a certain point playing Andy, because you just have to just tell the story of now a 12-year-old going through the same bit. because they wanted a movie immediately. So I do get it, but it's unfortunate for him, but he will come back. And like I said, I think Whalen does a nice job. The things that aren't great is this is Don Mancini's weakest script in the franchise. And I mean that after watching Seed of Chucky as well, because Seed of Chucky has a few zingers in it. And this movie is just...
He admits as much.
Yeah, he's not real thrilled about it. I heard him talk about it.
He was forced to by the studio to shit out a movie.
Yeah, it's not easy to write scripts. Like
5 months.
Yeah, it's not easy to write a script and come up with a concept from nothing. You know,
he did so well in the last.
Yeah, movie. That's the thing. You have a little bit of time. You can rewrite some things. You can talk to people. You can work out issues. You can come up with new and better ideas. Because the first misstep is the military academy. I understand he didn't want to make a high school movie with Chucky in it, which I get, but the military academy is pretty dull, and Don Mancini adds nothing to the genre of military movies at all. Yeah. He just literally is taking every cliche he can find and running with it. It's pretty unimpressive. Chucky is good here as always. Brad Dourif's performance is good. The doll's really fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's more great effects. The series is just really known for that. I really can't think of a time when...
Take it seriously.
They do. I can't think of a time really when Chucky had really poor effects. Even in the later movies, Curse of Chucky would be the lowest budget, I think, in the entire franchise. Even that movie, I think, has nice effects as well. This movie, I think, does look nice in that respect, but it's just slow. The barber, that guy. He feels very strange. Like he wandered in from just a different movie. like he just walked in from off Twin Peaks and just like, yeah, I'm going to do some crazy ass shit.
All about like cutting hair on anything. And he's
excited about it. That's how he bites it, trying to cut Chucky's hair, and he gets caught. Listen, the reason we latch on him is because it's a fun performance and sort of a dull movie. And that's sort of the big crime of it. It's just a dull child's play movie.
Yeah.
A standard slasher sequel, watchable, but nothing else. I think the last movie to me, I think is a 10. And I'm giving this one a 5.
Yeah, the last movie for me would be a 9. And this movie, 4.
I think it's watchable. I think that's about the best thing I can really say about it. I don't really want to rag on it because I've seen it a bunch of times. I watched it again. I had a decent time with it. Not a great time, but a decent time. And that obviously brings us over to...
It's the lowest rated.
Yeah, that's usually the way it goes in the series. This is the one people put at the bottom of the franchise. I think it's the franchise at the lowest point. It's amazing that they got to come back, and they got to come back the way they did, actually. Because this movie, let's see, what's the gross on this? This thing makes $20.5 million, and it has a $13 million budget, but that's just not the kind of profit you're looking to bring in from a Child's Play movie. Some profit, money was going to be made over time. There's still popularity in the character, so it leaves it open.
Yeah, my favorite. Movie, my favorite sequel in this whole franchise, Bride of Chucky.
This time, he's got a playmate of his own.
Yeah, that's right. We get Ronnie Yu directing Bride of Chucky in 1998. And this is the most 1998 movie that ever existed.
What a blast, though.
I think this movie is a lot of fun. It's weirdly time-locked because of how much music the movie uses. Not that the other movies are timeless or anything like that, but they certainly have a more timeless feel to it. This does feel weirdly dated, even more than the films that were made in the 80s. I don't know if that makes sense, but it does feel dated in a really strange way.
The soundtrack features PM5K or Powerman 5000. The lead singer, Spider-One, is the youngest brother of Rob Zombie, who also appears on the soundtrack twice.
It's that kind of soundtrack.
No fucking idea. That the lead singer was the little brother.
Oh, you didn't know that?
Rob Zombie.
Oh, you didn't know that? That's how
I had no idea.
I have that record somewhere. I have that CD somewhere in this house. I think it's right over that bin right over there. I think that's the last of my physical media in there.
Yeah. You have what? PM5K?
Yeah. I have that one album. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I owned it too.
Yeah, that one album.
I was so obsessed with them.
I know there's a hard drive with like a straight rip of it. So it's somewhere around here.
I've seen it in concert.
I don't think I ever did. I don't think I ever did.
Yeah.
This was the era of Power Man 5000. That's when this movie was really made.
Industrial metal.
There's some Rob Zombie on the soundtrack. There's a lot of goth jokes in the movie. Some of them are dated. Some of them still work. Some of them don't. Can we talk about the magic that is John Ritter? He shows up in a real brief cameo here. Big fan of Chucky. He wanted to be in this movie. He was going to be in the third movie, and that kind of fell through. So he got to have a much better part here. And he gets a super cool death.
Yeah.
Because you think he's out, then he comes back and gets the nails of the face. This movie, very much tongue-in-cheek. Some people call it a reboot, but this very much is a sequel. It just kind of shifts in tone. I mentioned this before, the same way Friday the 13th Part 6 is a little more satirical, a little more humorous, certainly than the other movies that are very, very serious. You know, that movie pokes fun at itself quite a few times. And I think that's not really a reboot. That's just a sequel with a bit of a tone change or difference. There's a lot of movies that do that. Police Academy, the original film, was a raunchy comedy. Mm-hmm. And at some point, the movies are PG family fare. You know, when they get to 2 or 3, you know, it's the same sort of difference there.
Yeah.
This is a pretty successful film, if not dated. I think that's probably the only thing that really holds it back.
Sure, it's dated, but it's so much fun.
Yeah, I think it is. It's a miracle.
It introduces us to Tiffany.
Yeah, because we get a character who will survive the entire franchise.
Yeah.
She's going to be there throughout the show, which we're not covering today. We'll talk about that in a later episode. And, you know, she's amazing here. Like, it feels like she's always been a part of the franchise here, but she's really just coming in, you know, when they bring it back in 1998.
Yeah.
And Tilly just, it's like she belongs in the slasher genre. She has a lot of fun with this part. She's had a long working relationship with Don Mancini in this franchise, and she loves this franchise. You know, that's a very cool thing to see. I think any actor who works in this franchise really loves it. That's a thing that you see from a ton of people in this cast.
Why else would Brad Dourif keep coming back?
Well, I think that's the one thing I see over and over again when I did research and all these cast interviews about how much these guys love working with Don Mancini. Yeah. And what an amazing guy he is. What a friendly and warm guy that he is. And his vision and the way he portrays it on screen and the fun they have working for him, I think is a really special thing. And it's helped make the franchise, you know, really what it is. I mean, I'll say it right now. I know we're kind of waiting to the end of the show, but I think pound for pound, when you put all the movies together, this is the strongest slasher franchise there is.
Yeah, it's certainly up there.
It really is. I don't think any other franchise comes close. You know, Hellraiser falls apart.
Oh, God.
You know, Friday the 13th.
Don't let me know.
Friday the 13th, they're fine, but you know, there's not even a really great movie in that whole series. Yeah. Nightmare has a real case because there's some really great movies in that whole series, but it also goes to trash at a certain point.
Yeah.
And Halloween. I mean, come on, man. I don't like the first movie and the one reboot. And then they screw that up too.
Yeah. Not
so
good.
So yeah, the hit or miss rate. I mean, we're already talking about another great classic movie in this franchise. We're not even all the way through. I would give this movie a 7.
Bride of Chucky?
Yeah.
I give it a 9.
You give it a 9. You give it a 9. I would say a 7. It's still a really enjoyable romp. 7's a really good score. I don't know anybody coming from my head. But like I said, I don't think it holds up quite as well as it could. I don't think it holds up as well as some of the other installments in the franchise.
It's okay. It's not rated very well either.
Yeah, I noticed that. It's like sub 50%, right? Yeah. Wow, I couldn't believe that. You know, we're going to rank all these at the very end of the show, so.
All right, so The Bride of Chucky is the most expensive child's play movie to this date, with a budget of $25 million.
Now, I would certainly believe that. This is budget for $25 million, makes $50 million at the box office. That's what you want to see. Had a great life on video, ran forever on Sci-Fi Channel in USA. So this movie made a ton of profit and money.
This was Brad Dourif's personal favorite child's play movie until Curse of Chucky was released in 2013.
I think you can really tell that Brad Dourif is having a ton of fun when he plays this part.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I can comfortably say about Brad Dourif's performance in all of these movies is like he's having a blast, you know?
Yeah.
I think whatever it is, you know, he loves playing this character. You know, he loves Don Mancini's words. He's always, you know, really brought his A game for this. This is an Oscar nominated actor, and this is the role he's most famous for.
In the opening scene, Michael Myers and Jason's mask, Leatherface's chainsaw, and Freddy Krueger's glove are all visible.
And listen, all those guys are dead. I mean, if we're talking about like where franchises are at this point, like Chucky still has a show moving on, right? That's still going. And Nightmare on Elm Street, gone. Robert Englund's too old. The reboot failed. There's plans for something, but who knows? Friday the 13th's mired in legal issues. There's a show that's coming out that's been pushed back 3 or 4 times already. So who knows when we'll ever get that. Halloween just got done with a reboot that was disappointing after a really promising start. They had to make it a trilogy. They should have left it one. They should have let it be. They made 2 movies that I thought brought down the other strong first movie.
Yeah.
So, and that's not where this franchise is at. He outlasted all those guys.
Well, I forgot to do something for the Child's Play 3. I had gotten some awesome trivia. True crime trivia.
Okay.
And I want to make sure that our guests, as the audience.
Our guests. Be our guests. Okay.
Yeah. Well, for Child's Play 3, first of all, this is Brad Dourif's least favorite movie in the series.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'd heard him say that in the past, too. That's his least favorite.
The movie was the center of a tabloid panic in Great Britain, with one newspaper, The Sun, even demanding existing copies be burned. Journalists claimed the film had influenced a 10-year-old boy in their murder of a younger child, 2-year-old James Bulger, although it was later determined that neither had actually seen the film.
That's such a weird thing. Like, I did a little bit of research into that, and it's just sort of weird they even name-dropped the movie.
Yeah.
Because they were unfamiliar with, like, plot elements, and nothing they did had anything to do with the movie. Like, if they'd have gone to a military war game and swapped out bullets for paint bullets or whatever, then maybe that would work. But that's not what they did. It's an odd controversy. But, you know, you got to sell paper, so sometimes that happens.
Do you want any more fucked up controversy?
Give it to me.
Let's do this. In addition to James Bulger case in Britain, another murder was vicariously linked to the film. Suzanne Caper was kidnapped and tortured by former friends for several days. Afterwards, she was set on fire by her captors and left for dead in a ditch.
Jesus Christ.
She was found still alive after crawling to a nearby road, but later succumbed to her injuries. During her terrifying ordeal, Suzanne was forced to listen to, "Hi, I'm Chucky, wanna play?" by 150 volts at maximum volume through headphones. One of those found guilty, Bernadette McNeely, later admitted to commencing each torture session by the phrase, "Chucky's coming to play." Soon the words themselves were enough to make Suzanne scream.
Well, that was the most disturbing thing you've said on this show.
No, it can't be.
Yeah, no, that is. I don't know. Listen, this is a movie show. Get that true crime gore out of here, all right?
Listen, it's something interesting and connected to just Child's Play 3 movie.
Is this because you're still upset that we didn't do a show where we go around solving mysteries?
Like Scooby-Doo?
Yeah. Wouldn't you love that?
Yeah. Wouldn't everybody?
We're very close to having a guest on the show. We have an incredibly shy cat, and he has come out of his shell, and he's right behind you.
Oh, shit.
He's just about, I'm trying to see if I can get him to meow. We've never had, our other cat has no interest in our recording sessions at all. He stays on the other side of the house. This cat's name is Donut. Hey, Donut. In case you hadn't figured that out, Meredith is not just yelling at some food on the floor, calling it by its name. Hey, Broccoli.
Donut. He knows his name, though. He totally knows his name.
Oh, absolutely he does.
He's just ignoring me right now because he's interested in something in the corner.
So are you?
He makes me nervous when he gets interested in something because then it's like possibly a roach.
Thanks for implying our house is a filthy roach-infested den.
Oh, dude, it's been raining so much.
I know, it's so wet out there.
Yeah.
It's as wet as I am for Seed of Chucky. You like that segue?
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Let's do Seed of Chucky.
Chucky is a misunderstood black comedy. It's kind of funny, but if it were funnier, I think the things that they was going to do were going to go down okay. Bands weren't thrilled with it at the time, is long and short of it.
It is my number 8, the worst.
You believe it's the worst of the franchise? Yeah. I think some of the jokes work here. I think some of them are fun. I think if they would have gotten Quentin Tarantino, I think the movie would have been a smash. But they got Redman instead, so some of that joke doesn't work.
Quentin Tarantino? Why would he direct something like this?
No, Quentin Tarantino was going to do the Redman part.
Oh.
Yeah, he was going to play himself, trying to get Jennifer Tilly in a movie about the Virgin Mary. And I think that joke works a lot better with Quentin Tarantino. But they ended up shooting in Romania. And because they ended up shooting there, Quentin Tarantino didn't do it. He was only going to do it. They shot in L.A.
Oh.
They saved a ton of money because their budget got kind of cut a little bit. So they had to make it work as well as they could. And there was going to be so much action with the dolls, and all those animatronics are really expensive. They're not necessarily expensive, but shooting with those animatronics is slow. Like, really, like, one scene in a car could take, like, 4 days. You know, even when they're just sitting there doing that, because if the animatronics bust and, you know, something doesn't go right, you know, and you're still getting multiple angles like you did with regular actors. So,
yeah,
it really limits a lot of what you can do as well. You know, you have to work around the puppets. You can't just, like, say, I want to do all these wacky shots because, you know, they have wires and puppeteers you have to hide. And they have to play to something that's, like, 3 feet off the ground.
Yeah. What can you say about this movie? I mean, I really hated it.
I think Jennifer Tilly's a lot of fun. I think Jennifer Tilly's a lot of fun. Did Jennifer Tilly jokes work?
But
Jennifer, yeah, I love that when Tiffany's moving. God, she's fat. I love Jennifer Tilly. And I know there was a con where a fan said, I can't believe you let Don Mancini say that. And apparently all those mean jokes were hers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, all those mean jokes. Like, she would, like she would want to say, like, nasty, horrible things. And I think they even had to pare it back in the edit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was just like, oh, lay into me. Like, and that's really the way to be. You really want to be able to make fun of yourself, which she does. And it really works in this movie. But I think that's one of the few jokes that really does. A lot of the other things don't necessarily get there. But I think this is a good black comedy. I love seeing John Waters.
I don't think it's funny, though.
I think that's, for me, there are a few gags that do land. I think it has a good energy to it. I think there's good performances. I get to see John Waters' face melted off. I think Brad Dourif's having a lot of fun in the role.
I don't even like the fact that there's a spawn of Chucky, like, out there. I know Bride of Chucky ended that way.
Yeah.
But continuity. They didn't have to continuity. Do anything with that.
You don't think they just could have ignored it?
Yeah.
I don't think they could have ignored it. That was the teaser for the sequel. You always want to pick up the teaser for the sequel. Well, it could have, but I think he thought a Glenn or Glenda parody would be more fun. And sometimes it is. And there's some fun kills in this movie. I think the way Waters dies, I like how they disembowel Redman.
Yeah.
You know, there is some good stuff in this movie,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of people consider it the weakest. I don't think it's quite there. I don't think it's my weakest movie. I think it's the second best.
Wow.
No, I think probably the second worst is where I'm thinking probably. We'll get the ranking at the end.
I rate this movie a 2.
I think I would rank this a 3. I think I'd rank it a 3. I want to say a 4. I want to say, you know what? I'm going to give it a 4.
Are you?
I'm going to give it a 4.
Wow.
Yeah. I like it as much as you like part 3.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a 4 because I think it's watchable. I don't think there's any movie in this franchise that's shit. And I don't think this one's shit either. I think it had its share of misses. Mancini went too far with the comedy and he learned a valuable lesson here, but it's not a bad watch.
John Waters is in it.
John Waters is in it. That's reason enough to recommend it.
Yeah.
I mean, it is for me.
I don't like John Waters' movies, but I understand what they are and I can respect that.
So this was a $12 million budget, makes $24 million. So they bring in a little bit of profit, but not that much. I saw this in the theater and it was near empty and there weren't a lot of laughs in it. And this was generally poorly received at the time.
Yeah.
I thought it was decent then and that's about all now. You know, barely watchable.
All right, moving on to Curse of Chucky.
Who's it from?
It doesn't say.
You found him.
Chucky's my friend till the end.
Hey, wanna play?
Can't we sleep in with you tonight?
It's only a storm.
Good night, baby. Sweet dreams.
Don't forget Chucky.
I think Curse of Chucky has a legitimate case to be the best movie in the franchise. I was sort of blown away by how good this movie was the first time I saw it, because this is a complete return to horror for the franchise.
Well,
after having 2 installments, and the last one especially obsessed with comedy, this was a very serious movie.
We have the introduction of Nika as a character.
And this is played by Fiona Dourif.
Yeah, Brad Dourif.
Brad Dourif's daughter.
Daughter.
Daughter. Daughter. Your daughter. She's my daughter. Sorry. We don't need to do accent tears. Listen, she is Red Dora's daughter, and I think she's really good in this part.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed her performance, even if she does say things a lot like her dad. It works later in the franchise when she gets possessed.
Oh, she laughs like him?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Really, yeah, she really does.
Crazy. I know he loved acting in it with his daughter.
Oh, I can imagine finally getting a chance to do that.
Yeah.
Because I've heard her talk about it. She said some really nice things about how much she's always loved this franchise and how much it meant for her to be a part of it. She plays Nika and she does a great job. She plays a character in a wheelchair and she's the lead here, our final girl. It doesn't turn out too well for her, but she does a great job going all the way through this thing. This was made, by the way, in 2013. This is another movie that Don Mancini directed. I know we didn't mention that for the last movie, but Don Mancini had complete control, wrote and directed this movie. And that's why this one ends up only having a $13 million budget. Do you have budget numbers on this?
I don't.
I'm sorry. Had a $5 million budget. Pardon me. So it's the lowest budget on the franchise. And this is a straight to direct to video movie, which is sort of a dirty word. And this movie is way, way above anything you would normally find going straight to video.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, it's a really, really strong, well-directed movie. It's creepy. There is a lot of tension in it. There's this great scene where Chucky poisons some soup at a dinner. And they do this great swirling shot, and you don't know who's going to get it as the scene continues on. There's all these teases. Some are a little over the top, but it's Don Mancini. What do you expect? But it really all works, and it all ends in this really graphic kill that sort of catches you out of nowhere. That's just a lot of fun, and it's another great effect.
Yeah.
You know, despite how much you take down the budget in this franchise, Mancini knows to put the effects where they matter. And because Chucky is hidden in shadows a lot of the time, Mancini really brings up the style. This movie hides the budget so much better than the way more expensive Seed of Chucky did. It just felt so cheap, right?
That scene with the spinning table shot of the chili and stuff.
Yeah.
That is done so well because, like, you see different people reacting as actors in that scene. And you're like, okay, he's the one. He's the one that's poisoned. No, it's not him.
Her. It's a great tease.
No, it's the kid. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh shit, they poisoned the fucking kid.
Yeah.
And then you're like, no, it's the priest because he's sweating a ton.
Yeah, but it's like we go through like every possible option just to tease light ones, sometimes heavier ones. The way the movie builds the tension right there, It's one of the best scenes in the entire franchise. And the movie keeps up a lot of that momentum all the way really throughout. I think the only time the movie sags is where the flashback occurs. And I do love actually seeing Brett. I do love actually seeing Brett Dourif return to the role. But let me try not to whistle while I talk anymore. But he does look a little old. And he has a little Tommy Wiseau thing going on as well for some reason. I don't know why that they leaned into that. But maybe that's what Charles Lee Ray looked like. You go back to the first movie, it's not really. But it's sort of how they made it work.
He had long hair, though.
He did. But like something about it, like he's very, very Tommy Wiseau. Very much The Room. It's all I can think of every time I say. They should have got Tommy Wiseau to play him in the flashbacks. I would have loved that. But no, it was good to see Brad Dourif, but he does look a little old. And the flashbacks are talky. We get a lot of exposition. And there's a couple of weird franchise plot holes here. I'm not really concerned about that because I'm just glad someone's keeping track of the continuity. But he ties all the movies together and Chucky's ultimately responsible for Nika being in a wheelchair too.
Yeah.
So there's a lot going on here. It sort of explains the whole movie. But, you know, the movie up to that point is fine. At some point, the bad guy has to explain what was going on if you watch a mystery movie, which this was.
Yeah.
Just sort of an odd one. They told another mystery in a Chucky movie, but they did it the right way.
The knife Charles Lee Ray was using during the flashback sequence is the same knife Chucky uses throughout the first Child's Play movie.
I like that.
At points during filming, Chucky's face had to be covered with tape because it legitimately scared the actress who played Alice.
Yeah, I do know in that final scene, I think she's actually, it's a split screen effect.
Yeah.
Because she was too terrified of the doll. They had to replace him later.
This is the longest time in the series before Brad Dourif speaks his first lines as Chucky, and that's 44 minutes in.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because in the first movie, he opens the movie talking.
Yeah.
He does spend a while before you actually hear Chucky talk, but not Charles Lee Ray. We did not talk about the ending, which I do like is that Meek ends up getting blamed for everything and she goes to prison.
Yeah.
She has a really cool moment where she taunts Chucky in the courtroom. I'm still alive. Like, it's all she's got. And she's like, fuck you piece of shit. I'm alive. I really love that moment. Because I think if you battle Chucky, you hate him, which is why the tease at the very end, the post-credit sequence is so amazing. You see Chucky getting delivered, somebody picking him up. The package is there. It begins to open by himself. And as he begins talking, you realize it's Andy from the first movie. And he's talking with his mom. He's finally got a relationship with her again. And they have a sweet little conversation about, you know, what life is like and stuff like that as Chucky gets ready. And, you know, Chucky gets himself out of the box, turns around for the kill. And there's Andy waiting with a shotgun. Play with this. And blows him away. It's a really great, like, the first time I saw it, I was like, yeah! Because I've always wanted that kid to get his revenge. And watching it again after watching the whole series, man, I really wanted him to stick it to Chucky.
Yeah.
I really wanted him to stick it to Chucky. Yeah.
Yeah, no shit.
A really great way to end
poor
it.
Guy.
I just wanted to talk about that. I wish I could have seen that moment in a theater on like an opening night with a bunch of fans of Child's Play, because every single one of them would have been, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, yeah. Like it, that would have been like Captain America wielding Mjolnir during like a midnight screening of the Avengers for like Chucky fans. That would have been a really amazing moment. But we didn't get that because of they thought this movie could only do direct to video. This definitely should have got theatrical release, and I'll be mad about that for a long time.
Yeah. Well, next we have Cult of Chucky, which is pretty good.
I was six. My babysitter was murdered.
And they never caught him?
Justice was done.
Wanna play?
Mika, the murders were real.
Chucky never was.
That's right. He was a fantasy, a delusion.
Are you feeling better now?
I don't blame you for being afraid. I was very ill.
Chucky told me. He's coming for you.
It's important that we all explore it together as a group. I think I have something that will help. Whoa.
Hi.
I think this is a weaker installment in the franchise, but not that much weaker. I think it's better than the other weaker installments in the franchise.
What would you rate the last one?
I would put that movie at a solid 9.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
A solid 9. It's just incredibly well executed, and it gets extra points for doing it on a $5 million budget, because Chucky looks really good.
Maybe an 8 for me.
You know, I was watching one scene that I would have sworn, it's like, man, that CG Chucky looks great, and I realized they use a little person. They did the old school trick from the first movie and just use scaled up sets and a smaller actress playing Nika at the bottom of the stairs that it made it more. And I never noticed. I just assumed it was CG.
Mm.
But, you know, I was like, wow, it looks really good. And that's why it's a real person. Yeah. Yeah. Don Mancini has really learned a lot working around those animatronics and effects. And it really shows off in this movie. All those skills come together there. And a lot of that sensibility comes through in this movie as well, which doesn't have the highest budget, but I think has a really stylized look.
Yeah. Cult of Chucky. It's not so bad. It's got some good direction from Don Mancini.
Yeah, Mancini is back to, and he's bringing the style that he had in the previous movie. I love the look of the asylum. Some of the characters are a lot of fun and interesting. He's trying to tell a similar story as before, where there's a lot of like what's really going on. But this movie really dives deeper into the lore of the Child's Play series. For better or for worse, I think I know some fans were turned off by how we end up getting multiple Chuckies. A lot of fans thought that there's a little tease at the beginning of Child's Play 3 where they put Chucky back together and his blood drips into like a vat of plastic they used to make Chuckies. And that was Don Mancini's original idea for Child's Play 3, was multiple Chuckies from that vat. Yeah,
that's what he wanted to do.
Yeah, and he reuses that idea. Don Mancini reuses a lot of ideas, never throws anything out. He just brings it back later on, a different coat of paint on top. Basically, he wanted to do that here. And he just chose a different way to do it. Basically, Chucky can split himself using voodoo, basically. I know that was an issue for some fans. I never had much of a problem with it. I think it's a lot of fun.
I think it's a little stupid.
I didn't say it was, like I said, the smartest thing the franchise has ever done. But I think Brad Dourif changing his voice for each version of the character, I think is a lot of fun. And the way we're able to get multiple Chuckies in pretty seamlessly, I think works nicely in the movie.
Yeah, I guess that's why it's called Cult of Chucky.
Yeah, I think there's some cool deaths in the movie. It's not
initially, I didn't think that was how this movie was going
to
go.
It's not as strong as the original movie. You have Andy returning again to try to play the hero. He does manage to kill a Chucky, but he doesn't manage to get all of them, and he ends up getting locked away by Tiffany, who is a formidable foe. Because the heroes lose in this one. Nika is completely captured and taken over by Chucky.
Yeah.
She walks out of the asylum under the power of voodoo, which repairs her legs, which I'm fine with.
Yeah, it sucks for her.
Yeah, it does. She fought so hard and she ends up losing anyway. The only catharsis she got was killing the therapist who was condescending and didn't believe her.
Yeah.
I think when Chucky kills her, he says, this is for Nika. He was such a dick. So it was fun to get. Like I said, I think it's a fun installment, just not a real great one. And it's a step back from where it was previously, but this is better than things like Child's Play 3 and Seed of Chucky. And I think I like it a little bit better than Bride.
And finally, we have, what would you rate Cult of Chucky before we move on?
7.
7?
Yeah.
I give it a 6.
6.
Yeah. Child's Play Reboot is number 8.
The Child's Play Reboot,
we already talked about.
We did talk about before.
Yeah.
you know, that is a part of there, but we're not going to put it in our rankings for this one because it's not really a part of this Mancini franchise.
Let's talk about what of all these movies that we've seen is the worst reviewed by the users.
Okay. I'm going to guess that it's probably Seed is the worst reviewed by users.
Actually, it's a tie between Child's Play, the original, and the reboot.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Huh.
Child's Play original has a 3.2 user review, and the reboot has a 3.2 user review.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, I knew the reboot fans didn't really like that, so I'm not surprised that it got bombed pretty hard in that respect.
Which one has the best user review?
The best user review. I'm going to say probably Bride.
You are absolutely correct.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah, totally.
I know Bride was, I just checked, 48%. That's awful. That's what the Rotten Tomatoes score was. Just terrible.
It got 4.4 user review. So a lot of people did like it.
That's good.
Yeah. Rank according to Rotten Tomatoes. Number one, Cult of Chucky. Cult of Chucky had a 81% on Rotten Tomatoes. Number two, Curse of Chucky. Curse of Chucky had a 79% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, Child's Play and Child's Play Reboot are tied with a 63% on Rotten Tomatoes.
A 63%?
Yeah. Number five is Bride of Chucky with a 48% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, kind of rough on that one.
Number six is Child's Play 2, 40% on Rotten Tomatoes. Number seven is Seed of Chucky, 34% on Rotten Tomatoes. And Child's Play 3 is dead last with 19% on Rotten Tomatoes.
All right. Well, I guess with their ranking, do you have another ranking or is that it?
No, that's it. I just have my own ranking.
Okay. So I think it's time. I'm going to say I think the bottom of the bucket, I think after doing the show and thinking about it as hard as I can, I still think at the end of the day, it's going to be Seed of Chucky. I think that comes in just a little bit less watchable than Child's Play 3.
Yeah.
The more I think about it, I was like, no, Child's Play 3 is annoying as it is. I think still it's just a little bit of a stronger film because it's a little bit more focused.
I agree. I'm the same way.
At
number eight.
Very close toss up.
Chucky.
Very close toss up between that. So we agree there. I think the next one, I think we're probably going to have the same here, right? Child's Play 3.
Yes, I have Child's Play 3 at number, well, I guess would be near number six now.
Yeah. That's what I have next. I really, like I said, it is what it is. A watchable movie at best.
Then at my number five, I have Cult of Chucky.
You have Cult of Chucky. I think in this spot, as much as I do, I think that they sort of like the movie. I think this is where I end up putting, I think it's where I end up putting Bride.
You bastard.
Yeah, I think it's where I end up putting Bride.
Wow.
Yeah. I like this movie, but I think I like Cult just a little bit more.
Wow.
I think Cult's going to hold up better over time. And some of those aspects really held back the movie. And there are some uneven jokes in the film.
Well, I would say number four for me is Curse of Chucky.
I think this is where I put, because as much as I do, I think I can tell when I look in your eyes, I've lost you. Because I put Bride at number four.
Yeah.
And it upsets you. But here's where Cult goes for me, obviously.
Cult goes for you at the number four spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the number, Curse of Chucky is number four for me.
Yeah.
What about your number three?
So for the number three position, this is where I think I'm going to get more controversial here. Because I'm going to put, I think, the original movie here.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I put the original film here from 1988. I still really like this movie. I gave it a good review. I think I just like these other two movies a bit more.
I put Child's Play 2 at number 3.
That's fine.
Yeah.
You're allowed to be wrong.
Jeez.
Shots fired. Foo.
I'm always right. Number 2 for me, Bride of Chucky. I love that
movie. I think it's really good. I think it's really good.
It's the best sequel in my opinion.
This is where I put Curse.
Wow.
At number 2. Curse of Chucky.
And for me, at number one, the original Child's Play. It's...
Yeah, I mean, that's a good basic pick, yeah.
No.
Yeah, no, I understand.
That's a perfect fucking horror movie for kids.
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah. If you want
for kids.
If you want your kid to get into,
you know, for kids,
a horror movie, yeah. I would recommend this movie.
If you want your baby to start getting into horror movies.
Not babies.
Oh, not babies. Not babies. We want at least like 10.
Even though our 2-year-old was obsessed with Jason.
She was, because I was playing the game a lot at the time, and I didn't think she could pay attention to it, but then I realized she was watching me roll around as Jason.
Yeah.
She'd go crazy when I'd kill a counselor.
She went as Jason on her second Halloween.
Yeah. Well, she loved that costume, and then she was so upset by the time.
So over it.
By the time it was Halloween, she was like, I want to go home and just eat this candy.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm like, okay.
Well, that's that, folks.
Yeah, so that's that right there. Those are the movies that I stand by, and that's what I do.
We did differ a lot.
Yeah, we really did. I just think that Child's Play 2 really is an incredible installment in the franchise and an incredible horror movie in general. I just think it's the perfect example of what that franchise is. I love that movie.
And I think you can't go wrong with a little bit of fun and something, a movie that doesn't take itself seriously in Bride of Chucky.
Yeah. I agree. Like, so I still think it's a fun movie. There's not really a movie in this franchise that I loathe and won't watch.
No, dude. They're all pretty good.
Like tomorrow, if Seed of Chucky was on TBS while I'm getting my oil change or something, I'm going to watch the fuck out of that movie.
No, not me.
Not you.
No.
Get the hell out of here.
No.
Yeah, I'll watch it. Mm. I'll watch it if that's on Sci-Fi Sci-Fi.
Well, what are we doing next?
I got no idea. Yeah. Probably some reboot of some kind. You want to dive into a month-long thing on Dracula?
Oh, that's a lot.
Do you want to redo an early episode already? Do we want to redo RoboCop?
Can we redo an episode?
I mean, we can. It's almost been 3 years, and our format was completely different then. Do the fans want us to redo RoboCop? If we get one single note or email or message about this, if you send a carrier pigeon with a thing that says, do RoboCop again, we totally will.
Yeah.
If I don't get anything, then we won't even think of it. I'll delete the old RoboCop episode.
Yeah, we would like to hear from you. If you think that we should do it again, fucking A. Yeah,
and this is the point. Like, if you have made it to this point of the show, you are either the most loyal listener in the world, or I'm very sorry that you have passed on listening to us. You fall asleep, you're dead. These are the only options left for you to be listening to this show at the very end. But either way, we thank you, we bid you adieu, and we will see you next week.
Bye.